Hello everybody, my name is Jacob, and welcome to the Epileptic Gamer Podcast. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why have I not published an episode? Well, long story short, a lot of personal stuff has come up in my life, and I had to deal with it. So, that's that. So, this is going to be somewhat of a different episode. And when I say different, it's going to be a recap, not gaming news, because there's not a lot of stuff to report on. And I'm finally going to be touching the Grand Theft Auto trilogy controversy and a few other things. And I want to say the weird news of 2021. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. But there has definitely been a lot of weird, and I mean weird stuff out there when it comes to gaming. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So sit back, relax, and let's get going, because we got a ton to talk about. Now the first thing that we're going to talk about is a PlayStation game has found its way onto the Xbox Game Pass. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about MLB The Show. So, long story short, the MLB The Show was a PlayStation exclusive for quite some time. And for the first time ever, the latest installment has gotten an Xbox release. Now, I don't know for sure if it's not cross-platform. I believe it is. I could be wrong. But what I do know is that this caused quite a stir. And when I say quite a stir, I mean people were going crazy about it when it got announced, because MLB The Show was PlayStation's thing. Everybody kind of had a thing back then. Halo was on Xbox, MLB The Show was on PlayStation. Everybody had their own exclusive. And that was their thing. But for once, we kind of saw a mixture of everything that happened. And I don't know if this is going to happen again. Maybe this is a one-off. But what I do know for sure is that I believe this is the first time that this was the crossing of both worlds when it comes to exclusives. I don't think, at least I can recall, maybe you guys do, PlayStation and Xbox working together. And I know it's not directly PlayStation, but if you boot up the MLB The Show on Xbox, PlayStation Studios pops up, not an Xbox one. That's pretty surreal if you think about it. It's weird. I mean, seeing a PlayStation Studios on an Xbox that's not modified, in my opinion, I want to say on the weirdness scale, it's kind of a 5. Because if you were to tell me about 8 years ago that one of the biggest franchises for sports on PlayStation is going to be on Xbox, I wouldn't believe you. Because MLB The Show was such a staple when it comes to PlayStation. Now that it's not, it kind of makes me happy, because yes, more people get to play it, and it is a good thing. But that also makes you wonder, is it going to be bad in the future installments because, well, we have to make it on Xbox now. Back then, when we had it just for PlayStation, we only had a focus on the PlayStation engine and that software. Well, now that we have it, well, let's just say we have to focus on a whole different animal. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I personally like it. I think it's pretty damn cool to see studios working together like this. Especially big companies. Because you don't hear that a lot. You don't hear that MLB and Xbox and PlayStation, they're all going to merge into one. That's something that's never been done before that I know of. And the fact that it just happened this year is pretty damn cool. So I want to know what you guys think about this. Do you think this was a smart move by PlayStation to let MLB be? Well, first off, it was on Game Pass on day one. That's another big thing. And I think that's what caused a bit of the controversy, is because MLB, I don't know if they struck a deal. I don't know the full story. I probably should have did a little bit more research. But I know when it first got released, MLB The Show was on Game Pass, which was odd because PlayStation players had to pay for the damn game. It's pretty weird. So the fact that you can pay, what's the Game Pass go for, $10? Well, $10 for a $70 game, pretty damn good. Either way, yeah, on a weird scale from 1 to 10, I wouldn't say it's a 5. Just because there's a little controversy around it with the Game Pass thing, but nothing that is like a, oh my god, that's out of this world. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on that. Now let's move on to the next one. Alright, so now for the second one, we're going to talk about something that's just odd in every sense and every shape. It's about Ubisoft, of course, because why wouldn't it be? Now, more specifically, it's about Ubisoft Quartz. For those of you that do not know what that is, it is basically Ubisoft's company that sells NFTs for video games. Most specifically, Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Now, if that's not weird enough as is, some of them you need up to 500 hours playtime to claim. That is not a joke. That is a real number. Why? Why? In what world would somebody pay for that? And better yet, in what world does somebody have 500 hours of playtime in the Ghost Recon Breakpoint? Now, granted, I do understand people do have the time sometimes. And there's a pandemic outside. Who knows what you might want to do? Maybe you played it a lot. That's up to you. That is your choice. I respect that. But that is just stupid on Ubisoft's part. Because if, what's to stop somebody from buying it? All of a sudden you don't read the fine print and you have it and want to claim it? They go, oh no, you need 500 hours of playtime. I'd be pissed. I'd be extremely mad. And yeah, it might be on them for not reading the fine print. But still, I want to give this, like if you want to scale 1 to 10 on the weird meter, I would say that's a 9, because why? Just why in what world did that seem like a good idea to them? Because it definitely ain't this one. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on that. Is NFTs a good thing in the gaming world? And if they're not, how do you think they should be implemented, if at all? So, let's move on to the third topic, which is, the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy. Oh boy, this should be fun. So, the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, it was incredible, to say the least, because, well, on paper, let's say that. On paper, it sounded incredible. However, a lot can go wrong. And we saw just that. Now, if you don't know what happened, if you bought the game, a lot of models weren't working, bridges were invisible, and characters did not look like anything like in screenshots. It was bad. I mean, this had to be one of the worst launches in Cyberpunk 2077, and that's saying something. And if you don't believe me, the Rockstar launcher on the PC crashed and was down for a few days. So you couldn't even play any Rockstar game. That's not a good thing. And this isn't some new IP like Cyberpunk where you can say, oh, we didn't know what we were getting into, we're sorry. No. You have remastered versions of these games. You have remastered versions of these beloved, and I mean beloved games of all time. And you are making people buy them you're making people buy the definitive edition, I'm sorry, because you removed the PlayStation 2 versions off of every store that you could buy them. And if you don't believe me, that is a true thing that they did. Rockstar said to the PlayStation, apparently, they said to the PlayStation, we did not want to sell Vice City and whatever games are on there on the PlayStation Store. So they got removed from view. And what happened? If you wanted to play this game, guess what you got to buy? The Definitive Edition. The buggy as hell Definitive Edition. I don't know if that's greed. But if it isn't, then, I'd love to see what your definition is. Because that is just sad. And when I say sad, you would think a big company like Rockstar has so much resources that they could pull it off. And I'm not a game developer. I am not. But you would think, this in general, that they could be able to pull this off without a shitload of hiccups. But they do. That's something that happened. I mean, I could go on to the list of how much stuff was wrong with the game, but it's so big, it wouldn't be worth it. So, I mean, Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, in my opinion, was a failure. I don't think it should have been made. I think this, you gotta look back at the old relics and some of them, you gotta say, they were best left in the past. This is one of those times. Now, could it have been done differently? 100%. You can look at every game and say to yourself, in this section could have been done differently. Not this time, though. You can say to yourselves, this entire game should have been done differently. So, I don't know what you guys think. But for me, it being weirded out is a one, because what did we expect? Did we expect a perfect-ass game on launch? If we did, we're all fooling ourselves. Because, I mean, best-case scenario, it's a working game. But nothing will ever match Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto 4. Even San Andreas, nothing's going to match the magic of those games. And I think that's what people were expecting. What they should have done is they should have just released Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PlayStation 5. That way, it's technically, numbered in some air quotes, a new game, but you could still make some money off it, and you can still have the Grand Theft Auto games from the Definitive Edition on the PlayStation Store. Granted, yes, they're back on the store now, but that's not the point. The point is, you guys just screwed up in so many ways a beloved franchise and pissed off the fan base. A lot of fans might not come back. And if they don't, that is on them. Not the fans. It's on Rockstar from making a buggy game that was not playtested. And if they say it was, they are lying to themselves. Because, my lord, if anything needed playtested more, it is that. Cyberpunk was at least a playable state on the PC. Not even on the PC. If you can get lucky on the PS5, it was somewhat playable. On PC and consoles, Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition wasn't. It was not a playable state. Every section had bugs. So, in conclusion, this game should not have been made. The fact that this is a subject that is even talked about, the fact that it's being broken, is mind-boggling. Alright. So, I just want to get your guys' opinions on that, because I said my piece. You could tell it was definitely a long piece. But, yeah, let's just move on for that before I decide to start cursing, because I want to try to keep this a family-friendly show. So, let's move on to our next topic. Alright, and now the final topic is, in my opinion, interesting. Days Gone did not get a sequel because people think, the developers think, that gamers are cheap. Let that sink in for a second. The developers of Days Gone think gamers are cheap. Now, if you don't believe me, you can look up the interview. I read it. It is pretty interesting. But basically, the takeaway is what, and this is one of the quotes he said, "Don't get mad if a game doesn't get a sequel if it wasn't supported at launch. Buy it at full price at launch if you love a game." First of all, it's not our problem if the game wasn't supported at launch. You're the ones that need to buy updates. We'll download updates, and you bring them, we'll download them. Mainly because we have to if we want to play online. However, if you want to talk about players being cheap, there's a lot of collector's editions out there that are going for a shitload of money. Hell, I talked about it in my scalping video where a Los Angeles Lakers just Halo Infinite Xbox Series X jersey. I mean, it's going for like $25,000 on eBay. A lot of stuff out there, people are willing to buy. And you're talking about gamers being cheap. Yeah, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, this is some, we're talking about gaming that if you play anything like NHL or FIFA, they have Ultimate Team. People are willing to blow their life savings on packs to get one good player. I mean, people aren't cheap. Either they didn't like your game, or they got it on Black Friday, or they, better yet, if you want to talk about a more recent one, you got it with PlayStation Plus Collection. And if you don't know what that is, that's probably a weird thing. Also a good thing, that means you haven't bought a PS5 from scalpers. If you have PlayStation Plus on the PS5, you have access to what's called the PlayStation Plus Collection, which has some games like Bloodborne, Ratchet & Clank, and you can get them for free. Well, one of the games in there is Days Gone. So, you want to talk about gamers being cheap? You might want to go talk to PlayStation about this, because if you don't love our game, buy it at full price. Well, what? We're getting offered it for free. I mean, in our eyes, if that's what PlayStation thinks it's worth, we're technically buying it at full price. We're going to buy it at what PlayStation thinks it's worth, or what Xbox thinks it's worth, or whatever. Whatever company or whatever publisher thinks a game is worth, that's what they're going to sell it for. And that's apparently what they think it's worth. free. Or $27.99 if you consider it's for PlayStation Plus. Either way, it's free on PlayStation Plus if you have the PS5. And I am not joking. If you have it, go take a look. It's right there. And it's kind of funny that even though it wasn't greenlit by Sony, that they're still complaining about this. But, like, this happened a lot of while ago. This happened, like, early 2021, I believe. But when I read this initially, it blew my mind. I'm thinking, we have people that are willing to pay $700 for special editions of consoles. Like, there was a Spider-Man edition of the PS4 Pro, which I actually paid for with my own money. But I've got that for around $500-$600. If you're saying that's cheap, you're insane. People aren't cheap. It's just maybe the fact that, I don't know, they got it on sale before they got a chance to buy it at full price. There is a thought. But I don't know. I guess that's just... I maybe thinking isn't for them. But you know what? I before I say something I'm going to regret, I want to cut it off there. So, yeah. Let's cut off Days Gone there. And let's finally finish off the episode. Alrighty, and now I am going to do a bit of a different outro this time, because I mean, this is the final episode of 2021. So what I want to do here is thank all you. And when I say thank all you, I mean all the fans, the people that helped me behind the scenes. And I have a few cousins that I wish I could name off, but I don't want them to be hunted down, so I just want to say thank you to my cousins for listening to my little rants about how I can go on and on about editing, because believe me, editing this isn't easy. Thank you to my family, and I want to say thank you all to the listeners for joining me in these past 5 episodes, as I do not think I would be able to pull this off without your guys' support. So, yeah, to make a long story short, thank you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. There's no way wish I could repay you other than just give you guys good episodes. And that's what I promise I will do in 2021. I will make sure I give you good episodes. And I will give you them the best I can to the best of my ability. So, thank you guys for all watching or listening. This is the Epilogue of the Gamer, Jacob. My handle is BigJake423 on Twitter. You guys have a good 2022. That's when I'll see you again. Bye-bye.